Amen.
Well, I'd first just like to start off by saying thank you to Pastor for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, there we go. We're on.
I'd like to say thank you for giving me this opportunity. I do not take it lightly that I get to preach behind this pulpit. And I am very well aware that today is the last Sunday service of the year. You know, some have said you saved the best for last. I personally don't say that, but I've heard it, particularly from over there. I don't say it, but some people have. But Pastor, I just want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm going to ask you all to pray for me. As many of you know, this past summer, I got the opportunity to travel on one of Pensacola Christian College's ministry teams. So that means for 10 and a half to 11 weeks throughout the summer, my team and I were in dozens of churches that were just like ours, ministering to people just like you. Not only were we in churches, but we were also at 5 weeks of summer camp. So I'll tell you, if you want to have a great new year and to start off your new year right, you make your resolution to lose weight. Go to summer camp. I encourage you, that is a great way to lose weight. But at the camp, we got to minister to not only the teenagers that were there, but also to the local community as they were invited out during the week. We got to counsel with teenagers that made decisions after the message. You know, while I did get paid, and while it was my job over the summer to be an official representative of PCC, I was also a representative of Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and Martinsburg Christian Academy. And I say that because in the middle of nowhere in Michigan, I ran into somebody from Martinsburg. Not only were they from Martinsburg, her and I got to talking, found out that she was a graduate of Martinsburg Christian Academy. And I said, no way, that's where I graduated from. My dad is now the principal. And we just got to talking, found out she was a longtime church member. And in fact, her parents were just up here recently for a funeral. And while I was a representative of PCC and of our ministries here, I was also a representative of West Virginia as a whole. You might be asking, why do you say that? Because one Sunday afternoon, one Sunday evening, during a service, a pastor came up to me in the middle of me introducing myself. And the way I would introduce myself is I said, I'm William Garant, and I am from Almost Heaven, West Virginia. And I said that, and he comes up to me, puts his hand on my back, and he goes, you know, you just mentioned one of the great songs of America. Why don't you go ahead and sing it for us? He turns around and goes and sits back down. I look down at my leader who's sitting in the front row. He goes, so what do you do when the host pastor asks you to sing Country Roads? There's only one thing you can do, and that's sing it. And so from the pulpit, I got to sing Take Me Home, Country Roads. And it turns out my entire team didn't know the song. It was a shame. It was a shame. And so needless to say, we're going to be working on that. We're going to make sure they know Take Me Home, Country Roads. But I'm asking for prayer because I not only get to do that again next summer, but I also get to do it again in just a couple of days. I leave on Thursday to go back down to Pensacola, and then on Saturday, we hit the road. And for 2 weeks in January, we are going to be traveling to dozens of ministries, churches, schools, and even a youth conference. And we're going to be putting well over 1,000 miles on our van, and I would greatly appreciate prayer, not only for safety, but also for the Lord to open doors, that we'd be able to minister to somebody, and if someone's not saved, that we'd be able to get the chance to lead them to the Lord. I've got a question for you. How many of you like football? Where are my football people at? I know where we're at. We're in West Virginia. We like football around here. I'm a college football guy more than I am an NFL guy. Especially recently, everything just seems scripted. But I prefer college football. I want to tell you a story of a man. And if you have heard of this man, you will know the story that I'm about to tell you. Because this is really all he's known for. His name is Jim Marshall. Jim Marshall was a defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings back in the 1960s. And if you know anything about defense and the players on defense, you know they don't get to score very often. And so when they get the chance, they take it. They take it and they run. And that's exactly what he did. He recovered a fumble against the 49ers, and he ran 60 yards to the end zone. And when he got there, he spiked the ball as hard as he could, and it bounced out of bounds. He's standing in the end zone. He's cheering. He's proud of himself. And he realizes that the other team is coming and cheering with him. It was then that he realized he is in the wrong end zone. He did not run the right way. And instead of scoring a touchdown for his own team, he scored a safety for the other team. He gave the other team 2 free points. Jim Marshall was a Hall of Fame level football player. He was destined to go to the Hall of Fame. In fact, he made it to the semifinals of voting for the Hall of Fame. Just because Jim Marshall was trained in football and was around it day in and day out and breathed and lived football doesn't mean that he was immune to getting caught up in everything that was happening. If this Hall of Fame level football player can forget the most basic and simple thing about football, which is which way to run, doesn't that mean that we can lose focus of what we're doing and what we're supposed to be doing? We see the disciples are in a similar situation in Mark chapter 6. And if you would, turn with me there. In Mark chapter 6, verse number 7, the Bible says, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by 2 and 2, and gave them power over unclean spirits." Now jump down to verse number 12 with me. "And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them." We see the disciples, they're very busy, right? They're going out in groups of 2. They're going, they're preaching, they're anointing people, they're healing people, they're casting out devils, and they are so busy. But the same thing happened that happened to Jim Marshall. Now, the disciples didn't run the wrong way in a game of football, but they forgot some of the most simple things. You know, I think that we are so guilty of that ourselves, especially this time of year. The past 3 months of October, November, and December can be very busy in ministry, especially ours. In October, we have missions conference. That's a big thing for us. And we make a big push, and that's at the end of the month. And then in November, you've got the big thing, Thanksgiving. We've got a praise service that's going on. We've got a week off of school, and everyone is just busy. They're preparing for the holidays. And then December comes, and we're doing it all over again. Because, you know what? We have Christmas at Shenandoah, and we're going to make this big push to invite all these people out. And then we have the Christmas Eve service. And then over at the school, it's midterms, and so everybody's taking their midterm exams. We get so caught up in ministry. Around the same time that this is happening, John the Baptist is killed. A relative of Jesus who's doing the exact same things that the disciples are doing. You know, I was wondering, what could be going through their heads? We're doing the exact same thing. Are we next? I know if I was in their shoes, I would be so scared. But not only that, if we look at verse number 30, the Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." They were so busy that they didn't even have time to eat. How many of you have either been so busy or you just forget that you need to eat? It makes me think of that old Snickers commercial that says, "You're not you when you're hungry." And there's this new term that's going around. It's a mixture of hungry and angry. It's called hangry. And I know when I get hungry, after a while, that happens to me. And this could be where the disciples were at. They're like, if someone says one more thing, I'm going to need to go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. They were so busy serving that they didn't even have time to eat. Today I want to talk to you about five lessons about serving Christ. Our first lesson comes in right here, and it's serving Christ should be our priority. Verses 32 and 33 say, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, being Jesus, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him." You know, the Bible says they were going, they were in a boat, they were going across the sea, they were going to get a break. They were going to go sit down, and they were going to eat. And when they get to the other side of the ship, and when did they get to the other side of the sea, there's this large group of people there. And this is the backdrop for the feeding of the 5,000. The Bible says in John 6:10, and Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. 5,000 men. That's not including the women and children. It is safe to assume that there were almost 15,000 people waiting for them when they got to the other side of the sea. What was supposed to be a break for the disciples turned into this large ministry opportunity of 15,000 people. Serving Christ must be our priority. We see our second lesson, serving Christ should not be overwhelming. Verse 34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Jesus gets out of the boat and he sees the people. He says they're a sheep without having a shepherd, and he has compassion on them. But in a different account, we see the disciples have a much different reaction. In John chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 5, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Jesus already had the plan. He knew what he was going to do. "Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Jesus, when he got out of the boat, he saw the people. But the disciples saw the program, and they got so overwhelmed. Philip says, 200 days worth of work wouldn't be enough money to feed all of these people. What are we supposed to do? Andrew says, "Well, we could only find 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and what's that going to do?" It's like they almost forgot who they were with. This reminds me of the account of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening and learning and gleaning all that she could, and Martha was busy serving. Martha gets frustrated, and she's like, "Jesus, can you just tell Mary to come and help me?" Luke 10, verse 40 says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Was Martha doing something wrong? No. She wasn't sitting in the corner of the room scrolling Instagram reels. She was serving. But she got so busy and so overwhelmed in serving that she almost forgot who was sitting in her house. She almost forgot that Jesus was in the other room. We need to be careful that we don't lose the joy in serving Christ. And that happens most often when we get overwhelmed. You know, it's 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and I'm tired. I don't want to go start the bus. I know that's happened to me. We've lost the joy in serving Christ. We see not only number one, serving Christ should be our priority. Number two, serving Christ should not be overwhelming. We see the third lesson, serving Christ requires little but yields much. When I was in high school, I needed a job. I needed a job because I needed money, because I wanted what most high schoolers want. I wanted a car. I was tired of mommy and daddy driving me everywhere, and I needed my freedom. So I went to the two popular job search websites, LinkedIn and Indeed, and I was searching for basic entry-level jobs. And I saw them, and I'm like, look, all I want is a job that is slightly above minimum wage, and I can have off on Sunday so I can go to church. That's all I want. I'll do anything. I find this job, and I start scrolling, and I find it, and I'm reading the job description. I'm like, okay, this sounds really good. I get to the job requirements, and it says, entry-level job, 10 years of experience needed, college degree preferred. I'm in high school. How am I supposed to do that? It blew my mind that I was supposed to have 10 years of experience for an entry-level job. But I couldn't get the experience without the entry-level job. And it was just this circle. That got me thinking, if Jesus posted a job description for the miracle that he's about to do, what would be the requirements? Would it be a well-known theologian with 3 degrees that can fluently speak Hebrew and Greek? Man of God, a pastor? Well, the Bible tells us what they are, and there are 2 requirements. The first one is in Matthew 14, verse 17 and 18. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. So the first one is, can you carry food? We can all do that. We do it all the time, from our plate to our mouth, from our plate to our mouth. We carry food all the time. We see the second requirement in Mark 6, verse 39. The Bible says, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies among the green grass. So the second thing, can you tell somebody to have a seat? Can you tell someone to sit down? If you can do those 2 things, then you meet the requirements to be a part of this miracle. Serving Christ requires little, but yields much. People often say, I want to get involved, but I can't get up in front of people and speak. That was me just a couple of years ago. People say, I want to join the choir, but I can't sing very well. Let me tell you, Pastor would love to have you in the choir. You should just join. Amen. God has something planned for you if you just obey him. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples really quick. Jesus gives you some bread to go pass out to the people. All right? We started with 5 loaves. He gave me 2.5. All right, so here you go. You get that one, you get that one, and you get that one. All right, that's 2.5 loaves. We're probably out now. You come back, you get some more, and you're like, all right, whatever. You come over here, give them to him, give them to him, give them to him. And you come back, and you're like, all right, we are out of bread. There wasn't even enough food for 3 filet-o-fish from McDonald's. But at the end of the day, you realize that you have fed and given out enough food for almost 15,000 people, with enough food for 12 baskets full left over. The disciples took simple steps that didn't require much, and God used them greatly. We see our 4th lesson, serving Christ works best when you give him everything. John chapter 6, verse number 9. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? We see there's a little boy, and he gives Jesus everything. He doesn't give him the leftovers. This was a growing boy who probably had his mom pack his lunch, and his mom knew exactly what he needed, because our moms know us best. They know us better than we know ourselves. And he said, all right, I'm going to be responsible. Mom packed me this lunch, and I'm going to eat it, and we're going to be good. He didn't tell Jesus, Jesus, you can have 2.5 loaves and 1 fish, and I'm going to eat the rest. I got to make sure I have enough food for myself. No. He gave Jesus everything. In the 1900s, there was a young man named William Borden. He was heir to the Borden family fortune. And the Bordens, back in the day, were one of the richest families there was. One day after graduating high school, he took a trip around the world. And his heart was a burden. The Lord placed a burden on his heart for the people of Asia, specifically the Arabs in China. He was supposed to work for the family company and eventually take it over. But instead, he chose to become a missionary to the people of China. People said, "You're going to waste your life. You're going to throw it away." In the front of his Bible, he wrote two words, "No reserves." He was not going to keep anything from God. After graduating college, he received job offers, some even from his own family, to take over the company. But instead, he chose to go to seminary. He wrote again in the front cover of his Bible two more words, "No retreats." He wasn't going to back down from what God has called him to do. After graduating seminary, he needed to learn the language. So he went to Egypt to learn Arabic. But while he was there, he contracted spinal meningitis and died in Cairo, Egypt. He never made it to the mission field. People said what they said earlier: "You wasted your life, you threw it away." All of this potential this young man had, out the window. When his belongings were shipped back to the States after he passed, his family was going through his stuff, and they found the things he had wrote in the front cover of his Bible: "No reserves, no retreats." And before he passed, he wrote two more words: "No regrets." He did not regret living his life for Christ. While he may have died before he got to go to the mission field, that sparked a heart of evangelism in thousands of people. And because of William Borden, thousands of people took up his mantle and became missionaries in Asia. William Borden didn't give God the leftovers, and neither should we. We see here our last point: serving Christ requires thankful remembrance. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read verses 21 all the way down to 31. The Bible says, "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?'" Let's turn back to Mark chapter 6. We're going to look in verse number 51 and 52. Bible says, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Less than 24 hours after not just seeing this miracle of taking what was a little boy's lunch and being able to feed almost 15,000 people, they had already forgotten. Just like Jim Marshall forgetting the most important part of football, which way to run, they forgot what they just saw and participated in. We often have these mountaintop experiences and we say, "Oh, God had his hand on that, but praise God." But then a trial comes in our life, and we start saying, "God, where are you? Can you even hear me? And we forget that God was right there with us on the mountain. But it wasn't just this miracle that they had forgotten. They had forgotten 19 previous miracles. The Bible says it in verse 52, "For they hardened their hearts and they forgot." As 2025 comes to a close in just a few days, let's take time to remember what God has done for us. Let's remember that serving Christ should be our priority. Serving Christ doesn't need to be overwhelming. Serving Christ requires little, but yields much. Serving Christ works best when you give him everything. And serving Christ requires thankful remembrance. Let's remember what God has done for us, especially this past year, so we don't forget what he has done, and so we don't miss the point of serving, which is doing it all for him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for just your word and what you have showed to us. Lord, help us to remember why we do what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.